Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. GGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Friday to everybody. Super excited for my next set of guests. So I have a really dear girlfriend of mine, Vanessa, who is doing a project with a very famous producer. And I'm like, oh, really? Tell me about it. And we're having lunch. He's like, it's a guy named Barry Mendelsohn. You ever heard of him? I'm like, he's got the same name as a really famous producer, Barry Mendelsohn. She's like, no, that's the guy. And I'm like, shut up. That's crazy. And Barry's in town because he is producing Spaghetti Wars, which George Mahey told us about a few months ago, and he was super excited about it, and the premiere's tomorrow, and he's in studio with us. Barry, such a pleasure to meet you.
Dave, you're a good man. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Appreciate being here, and this is a emotional journey for me.
Tell us about this.
Well, I grew up in a place called Rochester, New York, in Western New York. And for 31 years, we were a AAA farm club of the St. Louis Cardinals. Mm. And in 1955, when I was a mere pup, the Cardinals came to KMOX. And Jack Buck and Joe Garagiola and Harry Carey were the broadcast team. And I could get KMOX clear as a bell in my bedroom. And I'm an 11-year-old kid, and I get addicted to Jack Buck in particular, and I say, that's what I want to do.
Wow.
And I knew at that age what I wanted to do. And my mom, I said this repeatedly, would knock on my door, in the bedroom door, she opened and say, honey, it's time to go to bed. And I never listened to her.
Yeah.
Never went to bed.
Yeah.
The Cardinals weren't any good. That was the problem at that time.
Oh.
I think they had one winning season in the late 50s, 57 or something. And, of course, that's when the World Series, there were no playoffs then.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Just two teams went to the World Series.
Yeah.
But what I got, and I went to a lot of Red Wing games, was the pleasure of seeing a lot of Cardinals come through Rochester. So in 54, I saw the rookie of the year for the Cardinals, a guy named Wally Moon. In 55, I saw Bill Verdon, who was also the rookie of the year. And I got to see a lot of great Cardinal players.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't any expansion. So they all came up through that. And there were two AAA teams. Every major league team had two AAA farm clubs. But Rochester was there for 31 years. So and the team was called the Red Wings. And their colors were red, too, much like the Cardinals. So at that point in my life, laying there in bed at 9:30 at night, I said, I want to be Jack Buck.
You know what I love about that, Barry? The same thing happened to Kevin Wheeler in Michigan.
Yeah. I grew up in Detroit, so I'd be listening to
Ernie Harwell.
I grew up listening to Ernie Harwell and Paul Carey, but when that was over, it wasn't enough for me. And I found out there's this place, 1120, where I could listen to another hour and a half of Cardinals games. So I got to hear Jack Buck and Harry Carey and Mike Shannon for all those years.
Right.
It's almost you're sitting here telling the story. It's almost the exact same story.
Yeah, no,
except you actually got to call professional games and I hadn't yet.
I was fortunate to do the Jets and the Giants, but I don't think there's a funnier guy than Jack Buck. I love announcers and I can identify with announcers, but Jack Buck had a better sense of humor and a dry sense of humor, Dave, than anybody that I ever heard on radio.
Yeah.
So that started my broadcast career in my bedroom in Rochester, New York.
I love it.
And so I feel very emotional being at KMOX today in the studio.
Yeah.
Because who knew, right?
Yeah.
So,
that's very cool.
Anyways, it's a delight to be here.
Really is full circle. Introduce us to your friends here, Barry.
Yeah, I'm blessed to have to my right the director of Spaghetti Wars, a gentleman I've been with a long time, Mr. King Hollis. And we've done a lot of television together and never missed an opportunity together. And to my left, and I'm blessed to have our lawyer and partner here in Pittsburgh, in St. Louis.
Oh, Detroit.
Pete Salsich. And so I'm delighted to be with these guys. And much of my success, if we have it, is based on these two gentlemen that are bookending me. So I'm a lucky guy.
Yeah.
And I've always said I'm a lucky guy.
King, you were just talking about half of what Barry says sounds made up, right? Like he's just done everything.
So I call Barry the Forrest Gump of entertainment. He is literally a historical figure in sports and entertainment. And, you know, shameless plug, we are working on some stuff regarding his story. But it's I argue he has the most compelling and remarkable story in entertainment. One of the top amazing stories in the history of entertainment sports. And you cannot believe his journey.
Yeah.
And I've been with him for 18 years and I still scratch my head.
You know what I love about your story, Barry? I'm a big Beatles fan and I'm a musician. And what I love about the Beatles is that they were making it up. No one had done it before. No one had done a four on the floor beat. They were making it up. And you guys were making it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Back in the 50s.
We made everything up.
Yeah.
And so nowadays, when you're running a basketball team or a baseball team, there's a 500-page book of how to do things. We had no book. I didn't want a book. I just wanted to do it our way. We knew we were in the entertainment business. We had to entertain people, and we did that. That's exactly right, Dave.
Yeah.
And by the way, you being a musician, that's all I meet in this town are musicians. Pete is a musician.
Yeah. There's a lot of us in St. Louis.
That's why he's our lawyer, by the way, because he's a musician. No, he's very smart. But
yeah.
Not to say musicians aren't smart, but anyway, and I had a great pleasure of promoting Paul McCartney, so he was a great guy.
Yeah.
Very terrific guy.
So Vanessa told me you have to tell your story about Mick Jagger.
Well.
Which
show and which one? But we did. We set a record of 87,500 people on December 4th, 1981. Pete was at that show as a student at Loyola University.
Yep, as a freshman.
Wow.
And he was on the floor. There were 40,000 people on the floor. And I gave him a picture of the people on the floor. And the caption was, "Can you find yourself?"
Yeah.
But anyway, what he remembers is it was very warm in the building and we hosed everybody down. So he remembers being hosed down, and I take responsibility for
right
that.
Right between the 20 minutes between George Thorogood and the Stones coming on, fire hoses out from the stage and hit the floor.
One of the requirements that they had was that I provide a basketball court backstage because Mick could play basketball. His dad was a basketball coach in London. And so I played one-on-one, and he kicked my – I can't say the
you
word.
Sure
can. I can't say kick
yeah,
my
of
ass.
Of course you can. You're Barry friggin' Mendelsohn.
But literally, I was a promoter, so I really thought – I knew better than try beat him.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't beat him anyway. I had, you know, the disease. It was called slow. And so he kicked my ass, but we had a good time. And I put the court down. Right behind the stage. So they constantly were playing basketball.
Yeah.
So we were very fortunate. We set a world record of attendance at that time of 87,500 people.
Guinness Book of World Records.
Uh-huh.
Guinness.
Yeah. And so it's still, it's one of the great experiences of my life, along with my sports career. But I've always considered sports to be entertainment anyway. So
sure.
It's just an extension of... whatever I've done in my career has been always in the entertainment field. I always say that.
Yeah.
And it's been proven out. And so, that's my Mick Jagger story.
Yeah.
He kicked my ass and one-on-one. Listen, I'm 5'7". He was shorter than me.
Wow.
But he was fast.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for speed.
Yeah.
So... I don't even know if I got a bucket, but anyway, it was a lot of fun and a great rewarding experience. It was an amazing show.
And so going back to the work you did in the 50s and 60s and 70s, were you aware you were making history or were you just doing what you're doing?
I always chose to be defined by my career. I chose it at an early age. And I was determined to really, you know, when I was a broadcaster for the Giants, then the Jets, it was a great experience for a 26-year-old guy. And sadly, with the Jets, I came the year after they won the Super Bowl. They couldn't have been the Super Bowl. And then that year, Namath got injured in preseason.
Yeah.
And a quarterback from the Midwest, Mike Tolliver, I think he went to Illinois.
Yeah.
He became the quarterback. They did go to the playoffs that year, but they went nowhere. And so, but I always wanted to understand how you run a sports organization. I was determined to do that. And so at some point, when television became preeminent, I was a much better radio play-by-play guy because I want to talk. And you can't doing television play-by-play to do a pure play-by-play.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to know about sports organizations. So yeah. I went behind the scenes and evolved that I was fortunate enough to be with four NBA teams and won a ring and got to start a franchise. So all before I was 30 years of age. And so I was very blessed. I was very lucky, but I was determined. You know, I believe in the harder you work, the luckier you get.
Yeah.
And so I always believe that, and I've never stopped working hard.
I mean, you had great success as a young man.
Yeah.
You're having great success as an older man.
As an old man.
You've really...
But I'm spry.
Spry.
No. Very, very spry.
Faster now, right?
No, not faster.
Yeah, no. Let's get Mick in here for a rematch.
I don't know. I walk now.
Rach, let's do this. We're visiting with the great Barry Mendelsohn here. He's in town. Tomorrow night is the premiere of Spaghetti Wars, and Barry is the producer. Going to take a quick break, come back in, talk more with Barry and Friends. Down with that scam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. I was on 45th, I was half out of a bag.
Yeah, I knew that you saw me. You laughed when I looked back. Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Friday to you. Legendary producer, play-by-play man, NBA GM, Barry Mendelsohn is here. Pete and King are here with him. They are helping him out with Spaghetti Wars, which is shot here in St. Louis, going to premiere tomorrow. Before we get to Spaghetti Wars, I got to talk to you about the NBA.
Yes, sir.
I mean, what? Tell me about that experience.
Well, I was a kid, so, but I wanted, my first job was with the Celtics. And it was at a time when UHF stations were coming into being. And UHF stations were non-affiliated with networks, so they had no programming. So sports was perfect for them because not only was it local, it was a lot of time, you know, a lot of games. So you could fill up your inventory with sports programming. So when I got to the Celtics and worked for Red Auerbach, he looked at me, he said, "Do you know anything about broadcast?" And I said, "Well, I was a play-by-play announcer, and I did like this." Then he said, "Well, you're going to negotiate a new television deal." And so it was a new UHF station in Boston. I think it was Channel 52, and I did the deal. And that started me in learning the knowledge of the broadcast business from behind the scenes, which it was insatiable for me. And then I started to learn more about organizations. And, of course, I worked for the Celtics, who won every championship in the 60s, except for Philly, 1 year Philly won. But the year I was with them, of course, Russell had retired. Bill Russell had retired, and Dave Collins hasn't yet arrived. And we had a center named Henry Finkel, who went to Dayton University. Very nice guy, but very You know, 7'1" guys who aren't very athletic?
Yeah.
That's him.
Gotcha.
But a very nice guy. And I don't think we won more than 20 games. But and I learned a lot of the business by sitting next to Red.
Wow.
And he wasn't coaching then.
Mm-hmm.
So we sit in the stands at every game. And after every game, he wanted Chinese food. And he didn't live in Boston. He lived in Washington, D.C. his entire life. But he lived in a hotel called the Lenox Hotel in Boston. And we would go for Chinese food, win or lose. And I carried the leftovers. That was my job, to carry a leftovers of Chinese food, because he'd eat it for breakfast the next morning. True. And so, but I learned at his side, and I learned the game of basketball.
Yeah.
I was very fortunate because I learned the game of basketball from some great people. You know, not only Auerbach, but Bob Cousy, Tom Heinsohn, Elgin Baylor, Jerry West, who I managed, John Wooden, who I managed, and Pistol Pete Maravich. So wow. I got the best learning experience. So if I sit in the stands, you'd get really pissed at me because I would tell you about trends, what's going on the floor.
Yeah.
I'd say, Dave, watch that guy. Look what he's doing. And so they always taught me, don't look at the game, look at the player. You want to know how good a player is, look at the player.
Interesting.
And so I learned from the very best.
You sure
and
did.
I went from the Celtics, I went to the Lakers. In 1971, they won 33 straight games, were 69-13, and won a world championship. With Wilt at center, may he rest in peace. Happy Harrison at power forward, may he rest in peace. Jim McMillan at small forward, may he rest in peace. Jerry West, may he rest in peace. And Gail Goodrich, who I still speak to 10 times a year.
Nice.
And that was a team.
Nice.
And in the true sense of the word, that was a team.
That's great.
And so I got lucky.
Yeah.
And
you keep getting lucky. I've noticed this.
Thank you, Dave. I'm lucky to be here today. Wait a minute. I'm lucky to be vertical.
That's awesome.
But anyway, and then what happened is I left the Lakers at the end of the year and managed Jerry West and John Wooden. How better can life be?
Right.
And Jerry and I had a show on another 50,000-watt clear channel station called KFI in L.A.
Yeah, sure.
And I had a talk show. And so it was just a lot of fun. I was a kid. I didn't know what I was doing. But, well, no, I think I knew what I was doing sometimes. But I learned everything. I was in charge of all the broadcasts and marketing it for the Lakers, the Kings hockey team, and the arena, the Forum. So I got a life experience. That's how I always – and I chose to take advantage of those things.
Well – we only have 3 minutes left now. We talk about everything but Spaghetti Wars.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
But talk about
SpaghettiWars.com. Please go to SpaghettiWars.com and you can pre-order your spaghetti dinners up to midnight tonight. But anyway, we came to St. Louis. The idea came to us by a gentleman named Pepe Kem, who's a restaurateur for a long time here. And King and I were looking for a cooking show because cooking shows have durability on the air. They last, as you know, by getting tired of watching Ramsay on TV all the time. But the point being is they last because people are interested and they participate. You know, it's participatory. Everybody thinks they can cook. So we were looking for a cooking show. But at the same time, we were looking for something cultural in nature and kind of travel, all the combinations. And Pepe really hit on a good idea. So King and I chose to jump in the deep end. And we developed it in less than a year, which is incredibly quick for broadcast.
Okay.
And we were able to shoot it in 4 days on the Hill. King directed it brilliantly. Believe it or not, we raised all the money here in St. Louis. We have 18 investors, 19, of which 18 are from St. Louis, who believe in the project, but really had rooting interests because we honor the Hill. We shot it all on the Hill. So tomorrow we're premiering the film on a big screen in, I call it Yogi Berra Park.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to stop calling it you. But everybody admonishes me, but I still, because I loved Yogi Berra.
Sure.
And so, anyway, we're going to show, we got a lot of entertainment, and people can buy, we'll get spaghetti and meatball dinners, which is appropriate. And after the show, and we own it, which is very important in our business. I'm big about owning things. And so we will own it. and then we'll take it to market after we premiere it.
Okay.
And it's a competitive show, and the championship will always come back to St. Louis. It's like a Final Four concept, but it'll always return here every year. The two championship families that are competing. So everybody come out tomorrow night, and I'll be the little guy walking around a little bit. And, but you'll get to have a good evening. And my lawyer and partner is playing tomorrow night. Dave, right. You want to join us?
Yeah,
come join us.
And so is my cousin Neil. After
so we're looking forward, and that kind of puts a capstone on what we're doing in St. Louis. And all of this has been done in 1 year, which is incredible in our business, as you know.
Yes.
And so we're very proud of what we did. I'm very proud of my director because he was magnificent with only 4 days to do it.
Wow.
And we had a crew of 70, a lot of good people from St. Louis. And the last thing that was important to us were those state film tax credits, which gave us the momentum.
Good.
To come here and do this thing. Without it, I would be hard-pressed to do it.
Yeah, we need to acknowledge the St. Louis Film Office, Kelly Hyatt and her team, and the Missouri Film Office, Andrea Sporcik-Klund and her team. They are amazing for what they're doing for the broadcast, really the production community, the film community here in town.
It's
remarkable.
King, Pete, pleasure to meet you. Barry, privilege.
Thank you.
Thank you. Delighted to have me on your show, and same to everyone here. It's really an emotional experience for me. I never thought I'd get in the studios of KMOX.
You're part of the family now, brother.
I'm proud to be here. So I'll be delighted to come back anytime and talk about the career. But anyway, come out to Barrett Park tomorrow night and have some spaghetti meatballs and see a great 59-minute film. Thanks.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Friday. 3:35 is Dave Murray time, brought to you by the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Desk. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. I want to just say how great Andrew and Rachel are. We had some communication problems, and we truly just got up, what, Andrew, what, 10 seconds ago, 15 seconds.
Seconds, literally matter of seconds.
Seconds, yes. We didn't give up. We never gave up.
They're the
never
best.
Never give up.
Well, thank you, Dave.
Never give up, never surrender. Kind.
Whew, teamwork.
I thought you were going to say what a great interview with Barry Mendelsohn that was. Did you get to hear that?
I didn't hear any of that because I just got into the system.
Wasn't that great, guys?
That was awesome. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Really,
I love
nice.
When we get to do stuff like that and just keep somebody for like a half hour and just hear about what they've done and how they did it.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Especially someone like that who's had such a prolific career in sports and entertainment, since 1955, literally. And still such a cool guy. And he was really emotional about the fact that, Dave, when Barry was a young man in 1955, he used to listen to Cardinals games in his bedroom with the covers over his head in Rochester, New York.
How about that?
So he
That's
said
awesome.
It was a really big deal for him to be in the KMOX studio.
Yeah. That's always a good deal.
Yeah, really fun.
I especially like the background behind you when the cleaning folks are emptying trash cans and stuff like that.
That's always my favorite, too.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. So when I first got to KMOX almost 5 years ago now, the you can see behind me, if you're watching on the stream, is the newsroom. And a lot of times they will be doing broadcasts from their desk. And the first time I was talking while they were doing it, I was just mortified. I apologized profusely. And they said, no, we love that. We love the feeling of a busy newsroom. So they like voices behind them and typewriters, whatever it is. I thought it's kind of neat.
It's when Fred walks behind you and he's naked.
Yeah, you just had an effect.
I don't know why I said
he's
that.
Naked a lot.
Right.
He's naked a lot. They didn't tell us that that would be happening when we moved over here, but like it's like he's naked a lot.
Wow.
Fred is here whenever I get here, and he's still here whenever I leave. It's like, dude,
you
work too much, man.
I know. Dave's still going to warm up over the weekend?
Yeah. It's nothing weird as far as heat is concerned, but it's above average for this point, the middle of October. Talking in the 70s tomorrow afternoon, but the actual high may just touch 81 degrees, 55 Saturday night, clear skies. Sunday, sunny, trying to reach up to about 84. Sunday night, 58. Monday, Columbus Day is Monday, sunny and in the 70s to near 80. It looks like another cool front. We were talking about two fronts coming by. One came through this morning, probably Tuesday, Wednesday of next week, but exactly what it's going to do is a little fuzzy.
Dave, Victor online asking if you keep up with any of your old Channel 2 folks or even Channel 5. You still talk to people in St. Louis?
Yeah. Chris Higgins and I stay in touch. Martin Kilcoyne and I stay in touch. Martin calls quite a bit, usually when he's having contract troubles. I should become his agent. Mandy and Sandy's, who obviously she's retired, but I talk to Sandy from time to time. And that's about it, I think.
Anyone from your old Good Morning America days?
Just my producer. Mm. Most of us from those days, some aren't even here anymore.
Mm. Yeah, you were kind of the whippersnapper.
Yeah, I was. I actually was. And when you really look back on it, you know, I've got a picture of like our 9th anniversary or something like that. And I look at that picture and I go, okay, that person's not here. I mean, you can really go through the picture of everybody, and nobody in that picture is with the show anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody. And I would say probably 40% have passed away.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, weird. So my mom lived within a month of her 97th birthday, and she used to complain a lot, which I was very sensitive to. But since she passed, I really thought about it, and I really get it. She would say, everyone's dead. Like, yep. your dad's family's dead. My family's dead. I'm the last one. All of our friends from the neighborhood's dead. I don't know any neighbors. Like, that's a real thing.
It's a big thing. My dad said that. He was just not only, you know, friends from his past. They'd all passed away. Friends that he had made in retirement, they had all passed away. People in the in his facility where he was living, everybody he knew had passed away. He was truly the last one standing. And he said, you can't really think about it. He said, just happens. You know, we all die at some point. And he said, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah. Headlines, Rach?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So OpenAI released their text-to-video tool, Sora. I think earlier this week, might have been late last week. Sorry, I'm getting my time frames all mixed up. But, okay, it was this week. They have surged past 1 million downloads in just 5 days. The app creates realistic videos from text prompts. And, you know, that comes with some good things and some bad things that we talk about quite a bit on the show. This is more popular and spreading faster than it has in the past. Hmm. So buckle up, guys.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either. I don't like the AI stuff.
Some of those Sora videos are really convincing.
Yeah.
They fool me.
Oh, you see them all the time. They're all over Facebook, too. Now, if you ever go on there, half the videos you see are fake. I'm seeing all these videos for some reason that's like a giant bear is running up a yard chasing down two little kids, and like the family dog will... It's super fake, and it looks fake because the bear like jumps up in the air and does weird things. But like, why? Why are we trying to fool people? That's why I keep saying it. But all AI should have to be labeled AI. It should be a law by now that it has to be labeled as AI.
So they've been making a lot of AI videos of Robin Williams, and this has been going viral. Well, his daughter, Zelda, has come out and asked people to please stop doing this. Stop creating these kind of videos. Stop sharing these kind of videos. She called them horrible TikTok slop. But she spoke out against AI mimicking the voices or likeness of actors who can't consent, like her dad, who is no longer with us. He's been gone since 2014. Definitely never put his stamp of approval on having his voice and his likeness being used for just whatever people want.
So what are they sending?
They're just creating videos, AI videos of Robin Williams.
But not to be mean,
I'm sure some of it is mean. I mean, it kind of doesn't matter where your heart is when you are using someone's image
Yeah.
without their consent.
Yeah.
and it's bothering his daughter. And I mean, that's all I really need to know is like, okay, yeah, we shouldn't be doing this. This is really crazy that this is happening.
Why is it taking so long for people in Congress to realize that they need to put some legislation out there that just makes it be labeled? Like, if you have to have a watermark on the screen that says this is AI. Like, how hard is that? And what's the negative side to that?
Well, there is watermarks on the AI video, especially the Sora videos. There's a few different
ones. No, but some of them are not doing that. There are others that are being put out there with the idea that they're trying to fool people. I mean, it should be against the law to intentionally try to fool people into thinking something that's fake is real.
Well, as usual, Congress is behind the technology. I'm sure they will start to figure it out once it starts to hurt them.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. Let's see here. Kiss rocker Gene Simmons is recovering after crashing his SUV. He fainted while driving along the Pacific Coast Highway in Malibu. Crashed his SUV into a parked car. Was evaluated at a hospital before being released. But yeah, this is scary stuff. He's 76 years old. His SUV crossed several lanes before hitting the parked car along the highway. Glad he's okay.
Yeah, sort of like Bob Plager.
Let's see. We'll do one more story, but we're running out of time here. PepsiCo is fresh off of a strong third quarter, and they say their new products are soon going to boost even more customer demand. They're releasing things like protein-infused Starbucks coffee, low-sugar Gatorade, and Doritos with all-natural ingredients. So they're hoping these new products continue to, you know, kind of...
Will they still stain my fingers?
Probably.
If not, it isn't worth it.
That's right.
All right. Thank you, Dave. We appreciate it.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I made my case to the world.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Happy Friday. We all have a great weekend. I was thinking about last night. It's kind of a stupid thought. It's definitely a very Pollyannish thought after the history of our species. But isn't it a weird thing that we have to fear each other? Right? Like, I get fearing hurricanes and bears and, you know, piranha. But, like, you shouldn't fear your own species.
That's, like, the number one thing I am afraid of.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of volcanoes or hurricanes or bears at all. Yeah. Doesn't scare me in the slightest.
Yeah, it just hit me how strange that is.
It is extremely strange. That's a great point. I don't know how much other animals deal with that. I don't think cows are, like, super scared of other cows. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there you will have clashes, but it's never just random.
Between cows?
No, I'm just talking about animals. Like, you know, lions, I'm sure. I mean, like, they'll compete for food or whatever, and it can be aggressive, but it's never for no reason. And it's never just because. But we've seen that the groups... What was the one... There was a story about the... were they chimps or were they... orangutan, something. There was something about how they would pick on certain individuals in this one troop of monkeys or some form of primate.
I can't remember. Chimps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were like really nasty and mean,
yes.
But it would only be occasional and it would be like one dude. But again, it's not like us. Of course, there's you know, 8 billion of us.
But isn't it interesting that, and I'm talking out of my ass here, but the closer you get to humans,
the more you get that,
the more jerky they are.
Do you think great whites attack great whites?
I'm going to guess no.
I would think not. I think not.
Yeah, the more someone has fingers, the meaner they are. Yeah. You guys see that our buddy wannabe Governor Porter, now all these videos are coming out. We played the one for you.
Katie Porter.
Yeah. Now there's just there's dozens of them
out
there.
Her losing her crap?
Yes.
Oh, I haven't seen those.
Yes.
Yeah, she doesn't seem very nice.
She does not.
I mean, if there's more than one that's like that, that's not a great sign.
Oh, there are worse ones.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Like throwing the F-bomb at the people who work for her.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
And just generally snapping on people. There's also her ex-husband, or soon-to-be ex-husband, I'm not sure what's going on with their divorce, but has made quite a few allegations that she was verbally abusive. He alleges that she poured steaming hot mashed potatoes over his head once during an argument.
Totally see it.
You could really hurt somebody by doing that.
Yes, you can. Yeah, you kind of just get a sense of a person, right? I mean, again, like I said, I don't want to be judged on my worst moment. No one does. But sometimes when you see a bad moment, you go, oh.
Yeah, but when your worst moment is in a planned interview that True. You knew yeah. was coming about topics you knew would be out there, that's not okay. Like, it's one thing if you don't think you're on camera and you're having a bad day and you snap at a person and then you apologize. That's a different thing than, you know, you knew this was what this was.
I was really taken aback, but because I keep clicking on articles about this and seeing the comments people are making on social media and such, and there is a not small group of people who, I don't know if they didn't watch the CBS interview clip, but they're like, good for her. She shouldn't have to take that crap. She's controlling the narrative.
Duh.
Thankfully, more people are pushing back and saying, like, yeah, this isn't acceptable. What are you talking about? But it's weird that so many people are cool with it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.